Amen. You know, I was sitting there thinking, we all need him this morning. And if you're here in this service this morning and you think, I don't need that. These people are crazy. I don't need what they've got. You're the one that needs him most. You pray for the choir as we sing. Watch and see this morning.
Can you hear him in the garden? Father, let this pass from me. Watch the soldiers gather round him in this dark Gethsemane. See him stand before old Pilate. Hear the crowd cry, crucify. Watched our blessed Savior suffer. See him bow his head and die. Watch them take his bleeding body. See them lay him in the tomb. Watch them wrap him in the grave clothes. They anoint him perfume. Now they'll wait, they'll watch and worry, though they knew he had to die. And while they waited for his promise, Christ was very much alive.
Somebody on the spot here this morning. Judy, I want you to come up here. You got to sing my song this morning. We're never going to be gathered here the way we are this morning. But he is truly coming. He is coming again. And one day I'm going home. Y'all pull that song up, and I want Judy to come sing. Praise God. We're going home.
Many times in my childhood, when we traveled so far, by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip round me. So gently he'd say, my child, it's so heavy, and I'm longing to see all my loved ones and friends I have known. Every step draws me nearer to that land.
Now my heart
gets so heavy, and I'm longing to sing all my loved ones and friends I have known. Every step draws me nearer to that land. We're going home. Going home. I'm going home. There's nothing to hold.
Praise the Lord. I really like it when the Lord shows up and He's in control. I was sitting there as they were finishing that last song, and I said, and this is kind of the way God works, and this happens often. I said, I wish Brother Keith would ask her to sing Going On. If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I want to preach for just a few minutes on this subject. Remember the cause. There's something that come on my heart this week, and this is kind of where God has stuck me. Sit down and pray and try to seek God's will, and it's about His will. I heard a preacher say one time, this preacher's already gone to be with the Lord, but he used to preach a lot of revivals. I'd go hear him preach. He said, I don't pick them. I just preach them as God sends them. Yeah. And that's the way a preacher ought to be. This is not mine. This is not yours. This is God's. Amen. And if we honor Him in that fashion, He'll show up. And we want to lift Him up. It's about Him. But obviously the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where David defeats Goliath. We know that this is a Bible story that every child knows, but I want to just share it with you. I want to go through it. And I want us, as we look at the Word of God, to remember the cause. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I want to read just a few verses in the 1st through 11th verse, and then we'll drop down and pick up a couple of verses. It says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah in Ephesim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched in the valley of Elah, and they set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now that's 9 feet and 9 inches tall. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Now the head of his spear weighed 20 pounds. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to throw a spear that weighs 5 pounds. But when this man stood before them, just the sight of him, the sheer strength, the way he was clothed in armor, it was a terrifying sight for the people of Israel. Said he stood and cried to the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now let's go down to verse 20. This is where David comes into the camp to see how his brothers are doing. And it says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him and came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and he shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words." And it says, "And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely do defy Israel as he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.' And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' And the people answered him after this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done to the man that killeth him.' And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, 'Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle.'" And this is our text verse, number 29. "And David said, 'What I have now done, is there not a cause?'" Now, I want to talk for just a few minutes this morning on this subject, remember the cause. And I want us to look at this scripture and just pull some things from it and see what happened here as Goliath is coming down to defy the armies of Israel, the people of Israel, the king of Israel, with his strength and with his power, and the people were very afraid. Well, the first thing I want you to see as we look at David is that David was awakened to the cause. You see, he came and the scripture said in the 23rd verse, he heard them. He heard the words of the enemy. And when he heard the words, rather than being moved by fear, it motivated him. You see, the adversary, he had a big sword, and we know how the story goes that David drew his sword. That sword was very large. It was huge. It was fearful. He had a very big spear that most men couldn't even handle, and he also had a big mouth. You see, David heard Goliath, and if we look around us in the world that we're living in today, we're hearing a lot of things. And there are a lot of things that are coming against us. I mean, there is political and social unrest, not only in America, but all over the world. And people hear it and they become fearful and they're afraid. There's cultural degradation, there's violence, and there's mayhem. There's a rejection of God. There's an epidemic of drugs in this country. Sometimes to the extent that people don't even want to acknowledge how serious it is. Knowing people who are involved in law enforcement and in the police force, I mean, sometimes I talk to them about the situation that we're facing, and they say, you would be surprised if you knew what goes on down the street from you. We see these things and we hear these things, but what are we doing about it? When David heard these words, he didn't just sit back in fear, but he said, who is this that defies the armies of the living God? You know, sometimes there needs to be something in our lives as Christians that we remember the cause and we get awakened to the cause. David was awakened to the cause. We should also be awakened to the cause. Now, a few years ago, and I may have told this story before, but I want to share it with you because it fits. I was traveling on some hunting property, coming around the edge of the property, and I come to a place that was close to a road, and I come up to a place where there was an overhanging tree, and there was a ladder that was there, and there was a noose that had been tied out of an old drop cord. And as I come up, there was a Quick Trip cup that was sitting there that somebody had been in there and they had been tying that and no doubt contemplating ending their own life because of the things. Sometimes, you know, we look at a person like that, you better be careful not to judge them too quick. We're living in a world today where the oppressions of life are coming in on people so great and it's pushing down on them. It's just like the fear that Goliath provided to the armies of Israel. And when people see it, they a lot of times don't think that there's any way that I can find my way out. There's no way that I can defeat this enemy. And when I saw that ladder and I saw that noose, and that was back when I had one of the boys with me and they were small and they didn't understand exactly what it was. I didn't explain it to them. I didn't want to do that. But I tell you what I did do. I said, you sit right here. I climbed that tree and I got rid of that drop cord. And I took that ladder and I tied that cord to that drop cord. And I got it out of those woods so that whoever it is, when they come back, they're going to have to find another way. Can I tell you that we need to be awakened by the call of the enemy and understand that God has work for us to do in the day and time that we're living in today. You know, he was awakened to the cause when he heard the words. He was awakened by the anxiety of the people. The scripture says in the 11th verse, they were dismayed and they were afraid. In the 24th and the 25th verse, every time that Goliath came out, what did the people do? They fled from him. Now here's what I want us to understand. If we're serving the Lord, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You know, if preachers would stand and proudly and boldly proclaim the word of God and not be afraid to tell it just like it is. But we're living in a world today that we think we got to be quiet. We think we've got to back up. We think we've got to take second a seat, but we do not because we serve a living God. Amen. I've had people say to me, they say, well, the way you preach, they're going to lock you up one day. They might. Okay, let's just be honest. They might. Maybe. But I tell you what, they're not going to do it until God says it's okay. Do you know that Peter, he went about preaching the word until the last message was preached. Jesus did the work that God had for him to do until it was fulfilled. And when they had him on the cross and they thought they had defeated him, what did he say? It is finished. And until God is done with the church is going to proclaim the word of God until Jesus comes. We should not be afraid. The people were afraid. You know, Peter understood this when he wrote to be sober and to be vigilant. He said, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I want to tell you something. God's been moving in this place. We felt the Holy Spirit. You know, and sometimes we look and you say, well, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. It's not, let's get this clear. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. Sometimes I've had people say, what happened last Sunday? I tell you what happened. People prayed and God showed up. Amen. That's it. It's nothing else. You know, when we look around us at all the trouble, I guarantee you everybody in this house has something going on in their life. Amen. Everybody's got a hurt, everybody's got an issue, and everybody has family members that need the Lord. I tell you what we need to do. We need to keep coming. We need to keep serving God. We don't need to let the fears and cares of the world keep us from serving Him, and then tell them about Him. Amen. So that they can come. You know, another thing that David was wakened by, the anxiety. But what about the apathy? You know, when he got out there and he looked on this side, and here were all the armies of the Philistines, and on this side were all the armies of Israel, and Goliath walked down in the middle. Every time he came, it was just like oil coming into water. The people would separate. Let's just be honest, in ourselves, we can do nothing. Nothing. But when David come down to him, he didn't come by himself. But here's why he was moved. No one was doing anything about that giant. Do you know that sometimes doing work for the Lord is hard? You say hard? Yeah. Sometimes doing work for the Lord is hard because you get tired. Sometimes doing work for the Lord is hard because you look around you and you think, why aren't people helping me? Why aren't more people helping us when we have to get all these chairs up? Now, church, I know y'all work. But just let me preach a few minutes.
Come on.
You ever been to a place to where, you know, everybody wants to go and celebrate in the end zone when there's a touchdown? But nobody wants to do the work that's necessary to get the team down the field so they can accomplish. Well, he looks and he says, nobody's doing anything. And here's what David said. Send me. You know, when we look around, here's what people think. Well, I don't have the ability. You know what David's brother said? You're just a boy. Where are the sheep? Why aren't you doing what Daddy said? Sometimes I look over here, young people, and I wonder who's the next preacher. I wonder who's the next Sunday school teacher. You know why I have hope for America? Because we've got 60 young people that are on fire for God, but that are inviting their friends. Are we willing? Here's the thing about the cause. Are we willing to fight in this battle? Are we willing to show someone where they can find help? Now, here's what I want you to understand about this situation where we're at right now. David's looking out there and he sees Goliath. He sees how big he is. He knows how powerful he is. Let me tell you something. Don't believe everything you hear on TV. Every time you turn the news on and they're just constantly, I say, I just can't stand no more of it. I'm going to turn it off. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to believe in the promises of God. I'm going to believe that He still saves. I'm going to believe that He can still perform the work that He said He could perform. Goliath was a liar. Can I tell you that the devil is a liar?
Amen.
The devil that's telling you to quit. The devil that's telling you your marriage is over. The devil that's telling you your kids will never get right with God. The devil is telling you you've done too much wrong for God to ever use you. He's a liar. He's a liar. And God can use anybody who's willing to come and cry out and allow the blood of Jesus to change them.
Yes. Amen.
See, not only was David awakened to the cause, but David accepted it. If you look at verse number 32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David said, I'll go. Now why? Because nobody else was going. I once heard a story of a missionary, and he came to the missionary board, and he said, I really feel like I need to go, and he told the place. But there was a problem. who was severely handicapped. He only had one leg, and he wore a prosthetic, and he was just not in good health. And they said, well, look, you're not in good health. Why do you feel like you need to go? He said, because nobody else is going. Here's a little boy that come down to the place where he heard the voice of Goliath. And he accepted the cause, and he went because he understood the purpose of the battle. Now, here's what I want us to understand about the enemy. The enemy is angry and threatening the things that are most precious to us. You know, every night when we go to bed, the last thing I try to do is I go check the front door. I make sure that deadbolt is locked. Now, I don't know about your house, but I can show you my front door and my back door all the way up and down, about that far where the locks are. It's just ground up where people have been trying to get into my house when I'm not there. That's why I got deadbolts. I got the little turn knob, but I got a deadbolt. But I also got this chain, and I take that chain and I lock it, and I make sure all three locks are locked every night. Then I go in and I make sure the garage doors are locked. I look to my boys, they're in the bed. Then I can go and lay down. Now, I want to tell you something. Just as much as I do that, there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy your family. Amen. You know, when I lock those doors, you know what else I do? I make sure there ain't nothing in there that ain't supposed to be in there. That's right. My boys got computers and they got them phones, but I tell them regularly. I don't take for granted just because they come to church. I say, you know, you better not let me catch nothing on that. You know, you better pay attention. Now, these are good boys. These are good people, but what about you? You know, you can keep it outside, but I want to tell you, as God's people, there's things we ought not to allow in the church. There's things we ought not to allow in our house. There's things we ought not to allow in our heart. Because if I'm willing to stand and fight the enemy and lock those doors, am I really serving God if I just invite anything in the world in? I'm not. You see, the enemy wants to destroy our homes. He wants to destroy our churches. He wants to destroy your children. You ever heard them say, well, we just want equality? No, they don't. No, they don't. If they did, they'd let you educate your own children. You see, the devil doesn't want you to leave him alone. He wants to destroy you. Amen. That's why Goliath had to be defeated, and that's why David accepted the cause. He understood the purpose of the battle, but he also had a passion about being in the battle. It mattered. You know, every time that I go and I have to preach a funeral, and I stand and I just praise God when I know the testimony that a person knew the Lord. And I look down and I made the comment recently that it's a defining moment. It matters. Every time, and I praise God that we have a baptismal list right here with 11 names on it, that we roll that baptismal out here, folks, it matters. Every time that somebody comes in and they say, I just want to dedicate my baby to the Lord. And you give them a charge and you charge the church. You know what? It matters. Every time you come in here on Sunday morning and you're going to teach a Sunday school class and you don't know if you're going to have two or you're going to have 10 and you prepare, don't get discouraged when you have two. It matters. Because you are equipping them. Now, I want to tell you something. Everything this church does, it matters. Folks, celebrate recovery matters. People's lives are being changed. Well, you say, well, everybody does get help. Well, some do. We come in here and we have these Awana and we teach these kids verses. I'll tell you what I have to do. I have to bribe mine. I'm just being honest. I remember one time I told Matthew, son, I said, son, just go do it. I don't want to do it. I study all the time. I got school. I got this. I said, $1 a verse. Well, I guess I can do it. You know what? You know why it matters? I'll tell you why. Because they're going to walk out that door and they're going to be in the midst of a world that Goliath is nothing. Amen. He's nothing compared to what they're going to face. And the Bible is going to be so needful, and the Word of God is going to come to them at just the right time, and the Holy Spirit's going to speak to them, and God's going to let them know, you might do it, but you're going to have to walk over this. It matters. You see, it mattered. It mattered to David. So he accepted the cause. He understood what the dangers were if no one stood against the enemy. Do you know what the dangers are if you just don't pay any attention to the things of God? You know what the dangers are in your house if you don't stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, David was awakened to the cause, he accepted the cause, and then he advanced the cause. You see, sometimes when you do things for the Lord, you just got to keep your eyes on Him. Now, I want you to see David for just a minute. He's come down into this army, and he's there, and he is the youngest of the sons of Jesse. He's just, as Saul said in a later verse, he's a stripling, just a boy, just a lad. His brothers looked at him, and they questioned his motive. In 1 Samuel 17:28, they accused him of pride and of naughtiness of heart. But the truth is, David asked the question, he was doing this for God. Now, I want to tell you something, young people. What you do matters. Amen. When you invite your friends to come to church, and they come in here, and when young people come in this church, and you go to them, and you welcome them into this youth group, and you put your arm around them, I want to tell you something. It matters. Amen. And it may be that in this group, and I've often thought this, because I didn't know where God was going to have me, Brother Tommy. That's a few years ago. I didn't know I'd be at this church. But I knew what God had put in my heart, and I even got to the point that I was thinking, maybe it's one of my boys. Maybe God's just preparing me to help them. Are you willing to allow one of your children or one of your loved ones to be promoted past you?
Yes, amen.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes what people do is they get them about right there. What if we got one over here that's the next pastor? What if we got one over here that's the next director? What if one in your Sunday school class is the next one that God's going to use to start a revival in this country? He can. Don't think that God cannot send revival. He can. They questioned his motive. They said, well, he's just doing it for pride. Then in the 33rd verse, they questioned his maturity. They said, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. 17 verse 56, they called him a stripling. Now, I want to tell you something. Just because you're old in years doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. As a lot of people spend a lot of years because every crossroad they come up to, rather than listening to God and going God's way, they make the wrong decision. They end up right back at the same place. I have learned in my life to listen to wise counsel. Now, I know you guys hate it when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You got to listen sometimes to your wife. I got a praying wife. And I want her to pray for me because I can tell the difference when she does. But you know, sometimes we sit in deacons' meetings and sometimes they get long. And I made this comment, and I want you to understand this, I believe this. Everybody matters.
Amen.
Everybody's opinion matters. You ever been in a church that had a lot of turnover? You had people coming in the front door as fast as they were going out the back door. And I heard a pastor say something like this, well, they're all problems or they wouldn't be leaving.
Wow.
That bothers me. Can I tell you that I believe in such a way that if we serve God the right way, there are no acceptable casualties. Everybody matters. Everybody's opinion matters. That's why I've asked you, let's pray about this land. Talk about it. If you don't like it, say it. If you do, say it. But say it now. Don't wait till we get in conference and think we're ready to move and start a fight. See, they questioned his motive. They questioned his maturity. Can I tell you, God can use you? I heard somebody this week that were saying, well, you know, I just don't know enough about the Bible. I can't understand why God's calling me to be a leader of a Bible study, but God's overwhelming me. I'll tell you what God's calling you to tell them is what he's done for you. If I spend another 100 years studying this Bible, I will be like a minnow surveying the ocean. My understanding will have just begun. But you can tell them what God did for you, amen? They questioned his motive. They questioned his maturity. They questioned his method. See, Saul put his own armor on David. And you could just imagine, a little teenage boy. And here's Saul. Remember what the Bible said about Saul? The Bible said that Saul was head and shoulders above every other man. When they saw Saul, they said, that's the king, because he was like a giant compared to the other people of Israel. Well, here's David, just a boy, and they put Saul's armor on him, and it's so big that it just engulfs him. And that doesn't even compare to how big Goliath is. And he says, I can't take this. This is not mine. And can I tell you, God's not called you to be somebody else, okay? He said, I hadn't proved this. He said, but I got a little sling right here. Not a slingshot, but it's a sling. It's just a little thing you put a rock in. You twirl it around and around, you get good at it, and you can hit something. He said, this is what God has given me. He went down to the brook, and he picked up 5 stones, and the number 5 in the Bible means faith. He said, I know the one that has delivered me in the past. Past, and I believe he can deliver me today. And he told them the story about how he was keeping his father's sheep, and he said a lion came out. A lion. Now, you know, when I go into the woods, I carry more than a slingshot. Because down around West Point Lake a few years ago, you know, they had a mountain lion down there. And there's coyotes out there. And there's snakes. I wouldn't want to have to defend myself with a slingshot. But he said, I know that God will deliver me because that lion came out. God delivered me. And then a bear came out. And God delivered me. He said, I'm just going to go with what I know has worked before. All of us are here today, not because things are perfect, not because we don't have issues, not because we don't have troubles, but because God has worked for you before. Because the God that you trust, you know in your heart you need him, and you keep to depending on him. And if we're going to remember the cause and advance the cause, we're going to have to be like David. See, David trusted in the Lord. By trusting in the Lord, he was able to defeat the enemy. You see, he goes down in the valley, and the Goliath, he just mocks him. And he says, you come to me and I'll deliver your flesh to the fowls of the air. And that's the voice of the devil that somebody's already heard. Yeah. David said, you come to me with a sword, with a shield, with a spear. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. And I want to tell you, if God's with you, devil can't do nothing about it. But sometimes what we have to do, and I've done this, and you might need to do it this morning. You ever just got to the point that Goliath was all around you? One time I preached a message on this, and it goes right along with this. He's God of our monsters. All of our monsters all around us, all screaming at us, all the fear, the anxiety, the trouble. You know what I've had to do? When I don't know how to do anything else, I just fall down. And I say, God, this battle is yours. If we're going to have victory, you're going to have to help us, Lord. Because we can't do it ourselves. We need to remember the cause. Folks, there's a reason for us to come. There's a reason for us to serve. There's a reason for us to do what we're doing. And when you start doing it, here's what I want you to understand, church. The devil's going to get mad. The enemy's going to roar. He's going to do everything he can to stop it. But that's when you just keep on keeping on. You know what David did? I want to say this. We're going to ask him to come with a song. If he had listened to the words everybody said, he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have went. See, they told him he couldn't do it. They told him it was just his pride. They told him he wasn't big enough, he wasn't man enough, he wasn't strong enough. But he said, I'm not going by myself. I'm going with the Lord.
Amen.
This morning, maybe somebody just needs to go with the Lord. As she comes and gets ready for the song, I want to ask you the most important thing you'll ever do in your life is accept Christ. You say, well, I've thought about it. I just don't know if I could live like y'all. Let me tell you what we used to be. Sometimes I hear stories about some of y'all, and I've made this comment this morning. I've been here almost 3 years. I feel like I've been here 30. That's not because it's one of those long, horrible marriages or anything like that, no. You know what it is? Because I feel like family. Okay? But y'all are my family. And sometimes when you go through things, you got to learn how to just keep on keeping on. You got to learn how to just say, Lord, when I'm weak, help me. When I'm at the end of my ability, would you help me? You know, sometimes not knowing you that long, I hear stories about some of y'all. And I say, that sweet little old man, ain't no way he was that way. Some of y'all sitting back there thinking, I'll never be. I can't. You don't know the story. See, the scriptures say such were some of you. But you're washed.
Right.
You're sanctified.
Amen.
You're glorified.
Amen.
How? Through the blood of Christ.
Amen.
See, what God does is he helps you be something you'll never be by yourself. I want to tell you something. David, in by himself, could have never defeated Goliath. But with the Lord, he can and you can. Would you rise to the feet, your feet if she sings? God spoke to you. This is your opportunity to come and talk to him.